Okay, well, welcome back, everyone, to our next podcast. We're excited to have back again Mr. Bill Olendijk, and we're excited to be talking specifically today about your role in the whole pastoral care exchange as you minister to people. And so, Bill, I think you got a couple of things you're going to share with us. Why don't you first greet the folks, and then let's dive right in.
Well, hello, everybody that will be listening to this podcast. I wish I could meet all of you. I'm thrilled and I'm honored to be able to do this. And I trust it'll be a great blessing to your life.
Terrific. Well, we are fired up, Bill. And this is, we've done a number of podcasts to this point, but I'm really excited to hear what you have to say related to your role. The one thing that we do know about ministry is that we want to make sure that we're setting people up to succeed. And so, so as we're walking through this, we want to make sure that you guys who are listening to this really understand what your role is, so that produces a sense of confidence inside of you, so you could really hear what God wants to say to you to help those that you're ministering to. So, Bill, why don't you go ahead and share the four keys I think you have for us today, and go ahead, just take it away.
Well, the first thought that we would like to talk about is the importance of building trust. I guess you could say in the construction of a building, the most important part of that building would be referred to as the keystone, which is the point of measurement for everything that's to be built. I would say in counseling, the keystone would be trust. From the very first moment that you greet the person who is seeking your help, would be to provide a warm greeting where you look in that person's eyes and shake that person's hand and welcome them wholeheartedly. That's a beautiful word that we don't hear too much about these days, wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there are so many things in life we do half-heartedly or less. Mm. But when it comes to counseling, your approach, your endeavor to gain the trust of that person seeking help has got to be wholehearted. If not, believe me, they will discern your lack of commitment to them, and they won't open up their hearts to you. That's just the way we are. Mm-hmm. It's just like when you meet different people in different places, you can kind of sense how they value you by how they give themselves to you in the greeting and in the initial conversation that you have with them.
That's good.
It's certainly the same in counseling.
That's good. Let me interject something here, but I appreciate you sharing that. And really, I think we all understand that as people come in and they're requesting help from us, the thing that we really need to understand, I think, as providers of care, is that we're here because we really want to create, if you will, a relationship with that person. And if we understand the dynamics of relationship, we understand the foundation of all relationships begins with what you just said. It begins with trust. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge first step for all of us.
It really is. You know, just think about your own life. You have certain people that you're very close to and others that you're less close to. And I think you'll be able to agree with me that the ones that you're very close to are the ones that have made you feel best about yourself. Mm. Those are the ones that have brought life into your life and been there maybe in difficult times. It's really the people that make you feel good about yourself that you attach to most deeply. And this is, once again, certainly true in counseling.
Good.
We have to win that. That determines how much openness you're going to experience in the counseling experience with those seeking help.
Great. Okay, so the second thing would be what, Bill? What would you say?
To be compassionate. We do not want to be quick to judge. We don't want to be quick to respond. We want to be quick to ponder.
Good.
As that person seeking help speaks with you and finds and experiences that you're not reacting to what they're saying, but responding, they feel valued. Mm. They feel like you're giving consideration to their individual life. Good. And that's what it's all about. They're coming and they're giving time to you, their time to you, and they want to be valued. And the way you show them that they're valued is by the way that you respond to the things they say, even being moved emotionally. Mm-hmm. You can show that. There are times where you should not show shock or surprise when somebody's telling their story, and some of the things are are really pretty shocking. Well, you don't want to show that. You want to maintain calm. And but there are other times where you can be moved emotionally. You surely can share those emotions with them, and that will be a deep bonding time for sure.
That's great. You know, I was thinking about, as you were talking, I was thinking about the greatest counselor. In fact, the Old Testament in Isaiah calls him the wonderful counselor, right? The person of Jesus, in one particular part of the Gospels, records a story of Jesus standing outside of the city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says that he had compassion on them, so much so that it brought him to tears. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a powerful story of really what happens when we connect with people's hurting, with their pain, with their trauma, with their experience, life experience at this point in time. And so I think it's important, and I was wondering why Jesus felt compassion. Now, obviously, he loved them, but I think compassion did something for him. I think perhaps compassion creates clarity.
Yeah, I agree with that, Tony. I think personally there was something about the countenance, the eyes of Jesus that made people feel safe.
Yes.
They felt safe that they could tell their story, that they could invite him into their situation in life. Interesting is the fact that whenever Jesus felt compassion, I call it the love flow.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he had a love flow for an individual or a group of people, miracles happened. Good. Healings happened. And that's something that's in my mind when I'm sitting down with a new brother or sister in the Lord or an unbeliever. They come for help.
Mm-hmm.
Something I am very much concentrated on and focused on is to release a love flow for that person.
That's good.
And that comes from God.
Yes.
And it's a powerful thing. I believe that a lot of our communication is nonverbal, and people can sense the love of God flowing through a human heart to them. And that's why Jesus was so effective. That's why the multitudes ran to even be near him, take a gaze at him, even see him from afar. It did something to them, and I believe that we're his disciples today. We are his representatives and his ambassadors in the earth, and that's what we're to carry on in our life today.
Man, that is so good, Bill. I see the third thing that's important is the whole issue of confidentiality. Now, obviously, when we're talking with people, there are some things that we need to hold confidentially, right? There's a privacy part of what we do. So maybe kind of build that out for a minute. About what do you mean when you say honor confidentiality? What are you saying?
Well, many times early on in the counseling environment, I will tell the person coming seeking help from me that this is a safe place. That's what I call it. This is your safe place. This is what you can say that you perhaps will say to no other human being. And I guarantee that confidentiality. At the same time, I'm required to let them know that there are certain situations where I will not maintain confidentiality. Mm-hmm. There are not many, but there are specific ones. For instance, if I feel like they're an endangerment to themselves, I am required to report that. It's called, I'm a mandatory reporter, and I have to report that. If I feel like someone is going to be or potentially could be an endangerment to somebody else, I am required by my ethics committee, I'm actually required by law to report that. Or if somebody, we're talking about, I deal with suicidal people that are suicidal. I have to report that. Or if threats are made in my office of endangerment of another person, I have to report that. Those are just a couple of the examples where it's a mandatory reporting environment. Two other mandatory reporting scenarios would be issues that involve minors, children below the age of 18, and also those involving the elderly, disadvantaging the elderly. So I am required, you will be required to report those situations to the authorities.
That's good. That's helpful, because I think sometimes when we talk about confidentiality, there's this misnomer, misunderstanding that everything people say to us, we have to hold in confidence, and that's not always true. So we appreciate you clarifying that for us. And then I see you have a fourth thing that you talk a little bit about, boundaries. So creating healthy boundaries between the person that you're trying to help and yourself. So what does that look like for you?
Let's remember that our goal in the counseling scenario with the pastoral care member and client, we'll call that person this time, coming, the one seeking help from you, your role and your goal is not to establish a friendship with that person. Your role is to be Christ unto that person and to share what your experience is and what your knowledge is in a helpful way, an uplifting way, an enlightening way, an encouraging way to that person seeking help from you. As soon as you start forming an alliance, a friendship alliance with that person, you're losing your authority and you're losing your ability to correct, admonish perhaps even, to disagree even many times because of the emotional connection that you now have with the person. Yes. This also has to do with the fact that many times the people that we help, they want to express their thanks to us in the form of taking us to lunch or buying us gifts,
yes.
You know, buying us things that we can enjoy,
yeah.
Recreation, sports activities and things like
right.
that. As soon as you do that, then you have you're indebted to that person.
That's true.
And that will diminish your authority, and it'll make it that much difficult for you to tell that person of a wrongdoing, improprieties, and the danger of you defrauding them and hurting them through that receiving of the gifts and the establishment of a friendship relationship can be very detrimental to them trusting authority in the future.
Yeah. That's so good, Bill. Wow. That is a powerful statement. So let me just kind of rehearse what you said. So basically there are four things we look for as we relate it to our role. Number one, we want to build trust. We want to make sure they feel welcome, they feel safe. Number two, we want to be compassionate. We want to really feel what they're feeling and be able to really connect with them. Thirdly, we want to honor confidentiality so much as we can do so. And then the fourth thing you talked about is creating healthy boundaries so that we could stay objective and so that we could stay effective in that relationship. So, Bill, it's been great to be with you today. Thank you so much for your wisdom. God bless you, buddy. See you guys next time.